Spirit and in truth, and I hope that you've had a good afternoon and you anticipate this time together. I'm encouraged by your attendance, and I appreciate the words of encouragement that you gave this morning, the thoughts that you had concerning the lesson and encouragement. I appreciate that very much. I encourage you to take your Bible out and follow along with me and make sure that what I'm saying is right. If you, again, like I said this morning, if you think I missed some mark, you let me know that. And I'd appreciate you doing that, and you feel free to do that. Before we get in the lesson this morning, or this evening rather, I want to make mention, if you're interested in this, just get with me after service and let me know it. Those over at Pine Grove have stated evidently that they need someone to come and preach. They're trying to find a preacher that can come over and preach next Sunday morning for them. If you're interested in doing that, to go over and preach for them and lead the singing, that'd be on November the 21st. And so if you're interested in doing that, let me know, and I'll get up with Mark Nations and let him know about that if that's something you'd like to do. I want us to talk for a little while this evening about being born again, taken from John chapter 3, the first 12 verses. Appreciate Garrett and the good job that he did in reading that scripture. You hear a lot of things today about being born again. A lot of preachers in the denominational world will talk about over and over, you got to be born again, be born again, be born again. And certainly that's important for us to think about, but yet many times they haven't the first idea about what it means to be born again. In fact, the Lord talked to Nicodemus, as was read just a moment ago, about the necessity of being born again if you're to enter into the kingdom. So I'd like for us to think about for just a little while about being born again. It's certainly a biblical concept and one that we need to think about as Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, a teacher, a ruler of the Jews, the Bible talks about. And there's a lot of things from John chapter 3, the first 12 verses, that we could latch onto and really think about and contemplate and study about as the Lord is teaching him and telling him that except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. John chapter 5, or 3 rather, verses 3 and 5. But what does it mean to be born again? How would you answer that? And so I want to present some things to us this evening that I hope will get us to think about some things that the Bible says about the new birth, about being born again, and the hopes that we can be in a better position to help others who maybe want to ask us about this new birth, about this being born again. Maybe you might have occasion to run into a denominational preacher, and they may say, well, you got to be born again, and you can agree with them. You got to be born again, but what does that mean? And maybe ask them, what does it mean when the Lord said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he shall not enter into the kingdom of God? Well, notice, if you will, in verse 1, sometimes individuals might say, well, to be born again, to be born of the Spirit and of the water means that one is born of the amniotic fluid of the birth canal. And so they may say, in an attempt to kind of discredit or to kind of throw out what the Bible says about baptism, well, that's the natural birth. That's the physical birth. And so you have the physical birth, but then that individual must be born of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Bible's not talking about that. That would not make sense at all, because in the very first verse the Bible says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, rather. For no man can do these things that thou doest except God be with him. Now Nicodemus was a grown man. And then in verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so again, a man be born again. In verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born again? The second time, rather, how can a man, when he is old, be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And so, at least three times in these verses, the Lord says, except a man. Nicodemus said, How can a man, when he is old, be born again? Can he enter into his mother's womb the second time? Be born again. Nicodemus did not understand what the Lord was saying. And there's a lot of people today that don't understand what the Lord's saying concerning being born again. But except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And so we best be figuring out what the Bible says concerning being born again. That is, if we want to go to heaven, if we want to be in the kingdom, which is the church. Now, I've said to you before, and I'll say again, not every time when the Bible talks about being in the kingdom, is he talking about being in the church. Sometimes he's talking about heaven. I'll give you a little sample of that over in the book of Acts chapter 13. When Paul and Barnabas went out into these missionary journeys, and they proclaimed the word of God to those, and individuals obeyed the gospel. And then in chapter 14, the Bible says, in verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. One does not come into the church of Christ, the kingdom, by much tribulation. He gets into the kingdom by faith, repentance, and baptism. But you're going to go to heaven by much tribulation. But then there's times when the Bible's talking about the kingdom in the sense of being in the church. Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 and 19, and other passages in the Bible. And then someone may look at John chapter 3 and they may say, well, really what he's talking about by being born of the Spirit is Holy Ghost baptism. Well, that's a stretch to get that in John chapter 3. It's absurd because the Bible doesn't teach that in John chapter 3. But yet, it's a conclusion that some may reach and say, well, he's talking about Holy Spirit baptism. When he talks about being born of the Spirit and of the water. I want to put some references on the board, and I want you to consider these. Maybe even chart them in your Bible if you're interested in doing that. But there are six baptisms of the Bible. I think we've talked about this in Bible classes before, and maybe made mention of them. Six baptisms of the Bible. And you do good to make a chart out. Look at those that are past, present, and future. For example, you have in the past Moses' baptism. I'm going to abbreviate this. That you read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. Paul said, I wouldn't have you to be ignorant concerning all of our fathers, that they were under the cloud and passed through the sea, verse 1. And 2, they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And so you have Moses' baptism in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. You have John's baptism. That's mentioned in several places, but in Matthew chapter 3 and in verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me, he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. You have Holy Spirit baptism, also again mentioned in Matthew chapter 3 and in verse 11. Acts chapter 1 and in verse 5, when the Lord to the apostles said, John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. It was only promised to the apostles, not you and me. And by the way, it was a promise, not a command to be obeyed. He promised the baptism of the Holy Spirit, John 14:26, 15:26, and 16:13. And then you had the baptism of suffering, of which the Lord talked about in the book of Mark, chapter 8, 20, 38, and 39. I have a baptism. Can you be baptized with the baptism that I'm going to be baptized with? And then he told them that they said, yeah, we're able. And he said, you're going to be baptized with that baptism, a baptism of suffering. All of those are in the past. It's four of them that the Bible talks about. Well, this baptism of fire in Matthew chapter 3 and in verse 11, he shall baptize you with fire, is eternal damnation. That's yet in the future. It's interesting to me when individuals talk about and try to say that the baptism of fire and the baptism of the Holy Spirit were one and the same. Peter didn't say so in Acts chapter 1, neither did the Lord. The Lord didn't repeat and say, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire not many days hence. He simply said, ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. This is Mark, chapter 10. Well, I told you that there's six. What would you put in that middle column? When Paul wrote to those of Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 5, he said that there is but one baptism. And that's the baptism of the Great Commission that the Lord commissioned the apostles to go out and do, which individuals do in order to have the remission of their sins. And that's the one baptism that's present. That's why Paul could write, for there is one baptism, because that's a baptism in water by the authority of Christ to get into the one body of the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 12:13, that is today. So six baptisms of the Bible. And so in John chapter 3, he's not talking about being baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so we need to understand that. When you think about a birth, one thing that comes to mind is you can't have a birth without what? Somebody said something, I didn't catch that. But it sounded like someone said water. That would not be the answer if that's what I heard. But you have to have seed in order to bring forth life and to be born. And as you think about being spiritually born again, obviously he's not talking about a physical birth, because Nicodemus was confused about that. How can a man who is old be born again? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born again? Well, obviously not. But the Lord is saying, you got to be born again. And so you can't be born without seed. And in the New Testament, do you realize what the seed is? In Luke chapter 8 and verse 11, a parallel with Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 and following, as he's talking about a sower that went forth to sow seed. And as he sowed, some of the seed fell by the wayside, and some fell among the stones, and some fell among the thorns, and some fell into the good ground. When he expounded that to the disciples, he made a point in Luke 8 and verse 11, that the seed of the kingdom is the Word of God. And so it involves being born again, involves seed. And we'll see that from a host of other passages. That gives life, the Word of God. It's what the Lord said in John chapter 6 and in verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. You can't have life without the Word of God. In James chapter 1 verse 18, you can't have a begetting, you can't have a new birth, can't be born again without the Word of God, because John pointed out in James chapter 1 verse 18, of his own will begat he us with the Word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. What are we begotten by? What brings forth being born again? The seed of the kingdom. The Word of God can't be born again without the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse 15, I hope you're writing all these down. Make some notes, put them in the margin of your Bible. Paul wrote to those at Corinth and he said, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers, for I have begotten you through or by the gospel. Paul, how did you beget them? Through the gospel. That is, he preached the gospel and they obeyed it. How do I know that? Because we have the divine account of the conversion of those at Corinth in Acts chapter 18, verse 8. Many of the Corinthians hear and believe and were baptized. Then I think about 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 23. Being, you know the rest of that, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And so one cannot be born again without the seed of the kingdom, which is the word of God. Well, folks, how in the world did we get the word of God? Well, it was by the Holy Spirit. And a lot of passages talk about that, just as a side note. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, and 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. A lot of other passages that talk about the word being inspired. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and in verse 37. And other passages that you might want to think about and contemplate about. So Jesus is telling Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus didn't understand that. Folks, cannot be born again. You cannot have a new birth without the seed of the kingdom. Well, how in the world would individuals know what to do except it was first proclaimed to them? And so without the word of God, we cannot have a new birth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 17, Paul said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. A new creature, or a child of God, in Christ Jesus, that harmonizes perfectly with what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3 and in verse 28. Or 26 rather, beginning, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. I think about Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse 12. For the word of God is quick. It means living. The word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hebrews chapter 4 and then verse 12. I already gave that passage of John chapter 6, verse 63. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Quicken me. Think of this phrase. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. The psalmist declared in three verses, Psalm 119, verse 24, 107, and verse 55. Quicken me according to thy word. And Psalm 25, get this right in a moment, and Psalm 119 and in verse 54, quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. It's interesting when you think about what the Lord had conditioned entrance into the kingdom on. And again, you hear so many people talking about the new birth, and yet they never explain what the new birth means. But they may say things like, well, he's talking about a baptism of the Holy Spirit. No, he's not talking about that. We dealt with that. He's talking about some personal, literal indwelling of the Holy Spirit that would tug you or push you or shove you this way or the other. No, he's not talking about that. But he's talking about simply becoming a child of God. I've told you before, and I'll tell you again, and I'll show you some examples in just a moment, that the best commentary that we have on John chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, is the book of Acts and the examples of conversion. Hands down, the best commentary on John chapter 3 is the conversion accounts that you find in the book of Acts. And the reason I say that is because those people that obeyed the gospel were in the kingdom. Yes or no? They were. The Bible points that out, that when they obeyed in Acts chapter 2 and in verse 47, that the Lord added them to the church. And then Paul would write in Colossians chapter 1 verse 13 that he has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. And John would pen in Revelation chapter 1 and In verse 9, I'm your brother and companion in tribulation and in patience and in the kingdom of Christ. And so the kingdom is evidently already established in our day and time, and folks being added to it just like they were on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And so I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, and I'm not saying I know everything about it, but I know, as you can know, that the being born again in John chapter 3 equates to obeying the gospel. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 9, He is the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. And so I suggest to you, and I'm going to show you beyond a shadow of a doubt in just a moment, that if you find someone who has obeyed the gospel, you found someone who's been born, who has been born again, who's had a new birth. Well, preacher, how do you know that? I told you a moment ago that the Lord conditioned and stipulated entrance into the kingdom upon some things. If you didn't get that, you let me know and I'll give it to you again. If I were to ask you, what did the Lord stipulate entrance into the kingdom on, what would you say? Well, He just said, we read in John chapter 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Except a man be born of the Spirit and of the water. And ladies and gentlemen, there is no doubt in the New Testament that that is a reference to baptism. It's the only thing that involves an individual getting into Christ in the New Testament was being immersed in water for the forgiveness of his sins. Surely not talking about being born of his mother's womb. Nicodemus had already experienced that. And being born of the Spirit is obeying what the Spirit revealed, since we have the Word of God by the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, by the way, is good commentary on that. That after the Lord had went back to heaven, He, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen. Again, we just read a moment ago from John, making another little chart, John chapter 3, verses 3 and 5, that He conditioned entrance into the kingdom upon being born again. What else did the Lord condition entrance into the kingdom on? Give you another passage. Matthew 18, verses 1 through 3, specifically verse 3. He said, except you be converted, you become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So He conditioned being in the kingdom on being converted. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19 says, repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, and the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. I tell you something else that the Lord enters being saved eternally on. And that's Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that what? Doeth the will of my Father. Doeth the Father's will. I want you to think about that. He conditioned being in the kingdom on being born again. Yes or no? Be this way. John 3, 3 and 5. He conditioned being in the kingdom on being converted. Yes or no? Matthew 18, verse 3. He conditioned being in the kingdom on doing the Father's will. Yes or no? He sure did. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. And so the only conclusion we can make is being born again and being converted and doing the Father's will is one and the same, that it equals the same thing, that you are saved from your past sins, be saved eternally when life is over, and the Lord comes back. Yes or no? So if I'm born again, have I done the Father's will? If I've done the Father's will, have I been born again? If someone says no, you need to get up with me after class. If you do the Father's will, then you've done what the Holy Spirit has revealed for you to do in His Word. That's the only way that you can do the Father's will, by the way. You won't have any inclination as to what to do relative to what the Father's will is, except you read the words of the Spirit in the Bible. You see that point? Being converted. If I've been converted, am I born again? Have I done the Father's will? You sure have, because you've obeyed the teaching of the Bible. Now, someone says, well, preacher, now, is he talking about the kingdom of heaven or the church? Well, you can't go to heaven except you be in the church. So, Paris said, trying to argue about that point. The point is, and you need to see that you better be in the church or you're not going to heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and in verse 24. And yes, the context determines which one that he's talking about. Again, Hebrews chapter 5 and in verse 8. And 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 22 is another passage that I want you to consider. 1 Peter chapter 5. Or 1 rather, and then verse 22. Seeing ye, he's writing to Christians by the way, seeing ye have purified your souls. I want to know how they purified their souls. Now tell us, Peter. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit. I want to know how that happens. He says that I have purified my soul through the Spirit. And unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Well, how can my soul be purified? Spirit going to come down and cleanse me miraculously? Again, is it some personal indwelling of the Holy Spirit that's going to come down and forgive me of my sins? Is that what the Bible says? Well, then I want to know how I can have a purified soul. Well, what did he say? Seeing you have purified your soul through the Spirit. How does the Spirit do that? How is our soul purified before the Lord? Think about the words of Jesus in John chapter 15. And in verse 3, now ye are clean. I came to purify. Now ye are clean by or through the word which I have spoken unto you. In the book of Psalm 17. Or Psalm 7, rather. The Bible talks about our souls being pure. That's still not the reference that I'm after. The book of Psalms. And then chapter 19. Psalm 19 is a proper way to say that, it's a chapter, but in verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is a servant warned, and in keeping of them, there is great reward. The Word of God is pure, enlightening the eyes. We can open up the Word of God and we can see what God allows us to see through the eye of faith as revealed in the Word of God. And the only way that we can be purified is through obedience to the gospel of Christ. That the Spirit, by the way, reveal. But again, I told you a moment ago that the best commentary we had was the examples of conversion in the book of Acts. If you were to ask a denominational preacher, were these people that were converted to Christ in the book of Acts born again, what do you think they would say? Oh, yes. They're born again. If you're a Christian, you're born again. Well, then find out what they did to be born again. Find out what that entailed, what that included, as you read through the book of Acts, and you know those examples of conversion, make a note of them. All of them in the book of Acts. And by the way, we don't have every example of conversion of folks being converted. We've just got a handful of them. That's all it took to make the point. I guess the Lord could have given us every one of them if He wanted to, but He didn't. But as you think about those in Acts chapter 2 and
Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 16, Acts chapter 18, and Acts chapter 19. All of those. If you want to know what folks did in order to be converted, to become a Christian, there's the chapters. Go to it and find out what they did, what it meant to be born again. And in every one of those, without any exception, it began by preaching the gospel. Remember I told you can't have the new birth without the seed, and the seed is the Word of God. It has to be planted. The Bible talks about it being planted in the hearts. That's what the Lord said in Matthew chapter 13 and Luke chapter 8 when He expounded to the disciples about the parable of the sower. The seed that fell among the wayside represents the one that would hear it, but he didn't understand it. And then the devil or the wicked one came and cast away, snatched away, that which was sown where? In his heart. Well, in the acts of conversion, these conversion accounts, each one of those began with individuals having the seed of the kingdom sown in their mind, in their heart. As James would say in the book of James chapter 1 and in verse 21, wherefore laying apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. The King James Version says the engrafted word. The New King James Version says the implanted word. How did it get planted? By gospel preaching. How shall they hear it without a preacher? It's got to be preached. It's got to be taught. Romans chapter 10 talks about that. In verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so, Peter preached about Christ on the day of Pentecost. With many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. In Acts chapter 8, they that were scattered went abroad, went everywhere preaching the Word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria, preached Christ unto them. Saul of Tarsus had the Word of God proclaimed by Ananias, who was sent to him to tell him what to do. Lydia, she was attentive unto the Word of the Lord and listened to the instruction, to the preaching of Paul, and obeyed the gospel. I told you about Acts chapter 18, verse 8. Many of the Corinthians here believed and were baptized. The people of Ephesus heard the gospel and obeyed it in Acts chapter 19. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no way of getting around the truth. And the fact that if one is going to be born again, he's going to have to obey the gospel. And there's just simply no difference between being born again and obeying the gospel. Well, what's this idea about being born of the water, being baptized? How many conversion accounts, if I were to ask you, included the fact that they were baptized into Christ? How many would you say? Any idea? One, two, some, few. What would you say? How about this? Never forget it. All. Every single one of them. Every single example of conversion in the book of Acts talks about the fact that they were baptized. What for? For the remission of sins. Have their sins washed away by the blood of the Lamb. To get into the one body, which is the church of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12 and then verse 13. To be saved, 1 Peter chapter 3 and then verse 21. Every example talked about them being baptized. That is, being born of the water. There's just no getting around that. The Lord said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16 verse 16. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 28, and then verse 19. Well, there's a lot of other things perhaps you could learn about being born again from John chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. These are just a few. But I wanted to set these things before us to help us to better understand how one is born again, and what point that takes place when one is immersed into Christ. To rise to walk in newness of life. Romans 6 verses 1 through 6. It's only then when we're that new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Well, preacher, I just disagree with you about that. Well, let me know that. And we'll study about it. And if I'm wrong about it, you point that out and I'll get up and make correction of it. But if you're here tonight and you never obeyed the gospel, you're not a Christian, you need to be born again. And the only way to do that is, as we have talked about tonight, by hearing the gospel, Romans 10, verse 17, believing it, John 8, 24, repenting of your sins. Remember that passage of Acts 3 and then verse 19, repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Confess your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, Matthew 10. And then verse 32, and be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2, verse 38. Most of you have done that. But you may be here tonight having never done that. And we want you to come and obey the gospel, because tomorrow may never come. And if you die outside of the Lord, there's no hope. And we want you to go to heaven. Maybe you're here tonight and you have done that, but you've turned your back on the Lord. You've not lived your life as you should. You realize that. You've come to your senses and you want to come home. You want to be restored, like the prodigal son did, who went to a far country and there he wasted his substance and then came to himself, said, I'm going to go back home to my father and tell my father that I've sinned against you. I'm no more worthy to be called your son. The father accepted him home. I'm telling you that our Heavenly Father will accept you back if you do what He says to do, to repent of your unfaithfulness, make confession unto Him in prayer. We'll pray with you, and for you, don't delay. Come right now.